Hello again, and you're very welcome to another episode of the Executive Code Podcast. And as you know, if you've been following us for a couple of weeks, you'll know that you'll be able to listen to this podcast on any of your podcast platforms, but you'll also be able to watch our podcast on YouTube as well. So if you want to go over to YouTube and subscribe to the channel, by all means, all the links are in the show notes, or you can go to our website, paulwilliamdavis.com, and all the links are there as well to all our different social media channels, as well as our online community and YouTube as well. So I'm joined here today again with Nicole, and Nicole has a few more questions that she wants to ask. So let me hand it over to Nicole, and she'll get me started in terms of what it is that she wants to know more about.
Hi, Paul. So the last time we talked about, you know, how any negatively perceived emotion, whether it's fear, anxiety, depression, or restlessness, indicates an imbalance of our genius pendulum. So I was wondering, is there a way to use these negative emotions to our advantage in our lives?
Yeah, it's, it depends on the negative emotion. Let's put it that way. So if it's, for example, anxiety or depression, that tends to paralyze a lot of people. So that it would be unusual to try and be able to use that to an advantage, let's put it that way. But something like fear is absolutely used, and a lot of people will use fear to their own advantage. So think along these lines. If there's something that you are trying to improve in your life or your business, and say, for example, for a lot of people, money always comes up for an awful lot of people. So if they have a fear around running out of money or not having enough money, that's a fear that they have. So what happens is they will move it to a point whereby they'll turn that fear unconsciously into actually doing a whole load of activities in order to generate more income or to get money from somewhere in order to pay bills or whatever it might be. Now, some people get paralyzed with the fear. That's another thing. That's the reason why, you want to look at what is the underlying trigger and the underlying emotion and what needs to be done in order to actually bring it back into equilibrium. But is it possible to use it to your advantage? It is, just depending on the emotion. Some people use it, especially fear, in order to drive them forward in actually to achieve something. So you may have heard from different books or online from the perspective, some people are motivated towards something and other people are motivated away from something. So if it's a fear that they could, for example, lose their home or lose their car or lose something from a financial perspective, well, then they'd be motivated into doing something in order to make sure that actually doesn't happen. In business, I see it an awful lot because people get into a feast and famine cycle. So look at it from this perspective, whereby when everything's busy and everything's going well and they're doing a lot of work and the money's coming in, that's all fine. They're just consumed and actually doing the work. But then when it comes to the point of the work starts to dry up or they've lost a client and they haven't been doing any, say, marketing activities or business development activities, what tends to happen is they then go into a famine cycle. So they go from this feast into a famine. And then what happens in the famine cycle is they tend to get a little bit more motivated to do more activities, whether it be business development, marketing activities, going on social media or whatever it might be. And then from doing all those activities, now what they're doing is they're generating more revenue or they're generating more clients into their business itself. And then they go into another cycle, which is the feast cycle again. So what I find a lot of clients is going through this pattern of feast and famine cycle. And that is literally what's happening is, partly is because of time management, partly because they're not looking at the activities that they're doing in a particular week. We discussed this on a previous episode, but also it's fear that's driving the fact of they see the bank balance going down in their company. So therefore now they start kicking into other activities in order to actually generate more revenue. Let me put it this way. People will look at some of their emotions on an unconscious level to be an advantage or to be a benefit to them. So this is just something to be aware of. So if you have somebody that is, say, for example, depressed or they're anxious or they're just not getting on, they're negative, okay? What some people, from an unconscious perspective, is they will keep that going. Consciously, they say they don't want to be in that space, but unconsciously, they're actually getting more benefits by being in that space. So what I mean by that is that you can have somebody that's anxious or depressed and so on, and the unconscious benefits that they're getting is the support of other people around them. They're getting love from other people around them. they're getting people to do other things that they don't have to do. So they can literally, if you, you know, you'll get a situation whereby, you know, some people will actually just lie on the couch and they will profess to everybody else that they're depressed and they're down. Now, I'm not saying it's a mental health issue. I'm not saying it's they're consciously doing this. It can happen on an unconscious basis. And the reason being is they actually perceive for themselves there's more benefits for them to be sitting on the couch than to be doing working or to be pushing themselves or to be getting out of their comfort zone and so on. And the people around them are supporting and facilitating that actually taking place. So you've got to look at it from an unconscious perspective, but also from a conscious perspective. That's what I would say. And ultimately, I know your questions around, well, how can you turn those emotions into being an advantage? But the bottom line is you're out of equilibrium. Any of those emotions is actually pulling you out of equilibrium, but you've got to look at the emotion and find, okay, what's the feedback that the emotion is giving you? And then from that feedback, how do we remove the trigger and how do we bring it back into equilibrium?
So we should view negative emotions as more of an indicator that, you know, our genius pendulum is out of equilibrium and then figure out how we can get it back into equilibrium, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then, you know, you mentioned the how it depends on people's response, whether they're paralyzed by fear or whether they decide to unconsciously turn their fear into activities. So that's the flight or fight response, correct? That's produced, you know, adrenaline and things like that when they experience fear.
And most people will know those two, fight or flight. Mm-hmm. But I recognized that there is a third one, which is freeze. So fight is, yeah, you'll go out there. So if you're being attacked by somebody, you will fight them, or you may run away, which is the flight side of things. But some people are, depending on what's going on, will actually freeze. So if they're going through a difficult period, or they're running out of money, or there's things that are happening within their life, they become paralyzed and not know what to do. And that's a very, very difficult situation for a lot of people to actually go through.
And if you think about it, none of those three situations are ideal, correct? Because, I mean, even fight, which seems like the best thing to do, because, you know, you're taking action, you're making sure that you're, you know, your self-preservation and all that. But you also don't want to get to the point where you actually have to do that. So would you say, you know, fear is a scale, right? It's not like an on-off button. So, yeah. You know, we should be making sure that we are conscious of our genius pendulum being out of balance so that it doesn't get to the extreme where we actually have to fight.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there'll be a lot of, it's going to get down to the circumstances. So, okay, if somebody's attacking you, well, then obviously you're going to either run away or you are actually going to fight them. It literally just depends on the circumstances. Fight or flight or freeze will actually come in from perspective of every single aspect in your life. So whether it be relationships, whether it be finances, whether it be your business, whether it be customers, clients, you name it, it's still going to apply for every different situation. So it is situational, and that's really what you want to look at. But you raise an interesting point, and let me bring it back to, we explained on one of the episodes in relation to the genius pendulum. So if you remember, I described the arc on one side and the arc on the other side of equilibrium. But if you want to go a little bit deeper, and as I did say on the episode that the genius pendulum, it looks simple, but it's so, so complex because it encompasses an awful lot. So think of it from the perspective of a spectrum. Okay, so think of those arcs, if you can visualize the arc. Think of it as being a line as a spectrum. So at what point are you actually in equilibrium? So at what point is, so take it as an easy example. At what point do you become hot, or at what point do you become cold? It's not just, okay, there's a particular degree in Celsius or Fahrenheit that you become hot or cold. It's situational. So it depends on where you are, what you're doing, what the activity is, and all that kind of thing. So that pendulum will swing on equilibrium based on a spectrum. It's not just a particular point that as soon as you hit, for example, 32 degrees, that's when you are now hot. You will literally, it will go along a line of a spectrum, if that makes sense.
And does it depend on an individual too? Because, I mean, two people could have identical circumstances and be in the same exact situations, but, you know, one person's pendulum could be in equilibrium for some reason. And, you know, another person could be like really fearful of that in equilibrium,
yeah,
despite having the same exact circumstances. So
absolutely, because now we're going down a little bit deeper, because now it's into our beliefs and into our perceptions. So there's so much that comes into play. So every single individual is unique, and that's the amazing part of it.
And would our beliefs and values make up the unconscious part of us or the conscious part of us?
Unconscious, primarily unconscious. Some people will be aware of what their beliefs are, and that's what, so they're, when they're making it into their conscious, but the vast majority of people are unconscious. So those beliefs are actually operating on an unconscious level.
All right. So basically negatively perceived emotions are an indicator, and that's how we should primarily use them.
Primarily, we should use them as feedback. And then once we understand, okay, so based on the feedback, it's understanding, okay, so what's the root of that emotion? And when you find out what the root of the emotion is, or the root of the trigger, now you can actually do something about it. So, different triggers are going to indicate different things. It's until such times you're actually working with an individual to find out, okay, so what's the emotion, what's the trigger, and then what's causing that trigger, and then what's the underlying belief around that particular trigger, and what's the underlying perception around that particular trigger. And then once you go through that, now you can actually go around dissolving that trigger. And when you dissolve the triggers, now in effect, what you're doing is you're getting to a position whereby, apart from being into equilibrium, but you're now getting to a position where you're managing your emotions. When you get to a point of being able to manage your emotions, that's when you're beginning to master your life. That's the whole point. That's why you want to maintain or get to a point whereby you can be in an equilibrium state.
Well, sometimes removing that trigger is a lot harder than said than done, correct? I mean, especially if it's a person or, you know, something at your workplace, I mean, how do you remove that trigger without actually like quitting your job or physically, you know, distancing yourself from a person? So how would you say are the most effective ways of, you know, not going to the extreme where you have to quit your job because, you know, you're having anxiety every time you go to the office. You know, how do you manage that?
So again, it's going to depend on what the trigger is, but you've alluded to the point whereby you can meet somebody in the office and they are somebody that's going to trigger you. Okay. But I bring my clients through a particular process whereby it's removing those triggers. So there's a universal law of reflection. And what you're going to understand from that, and there's an episode that I recorded on this, which is we are all mirrors. And the bottom line is that each individual is a mirror to ourselves. So if we are being triggered by somebody else, what we are triggering or what unconsciously we're triggering, it's to get us to actually own the part of us that we're not fully owning. So when we see somebody and we're reacting to them and we're being triggered by them, ultimately, what's happening is that it's our unconscious messaging back to ourselves to say there's a part in them that we haven't identified within ourselves. So we can go an awful lot more deeper on this, and we might actually do it in one particular episode, but it is such a fascinating area to work within. And then what you can do is once you identify within yourself, then it's dissolving that trigger. And that basically results in you being able to go into your work and seeing that person as an equal, not somebody that you are being triggered by anymore. And that's how you can literally continue on. Yeah, so that's one part of how we dissolve triggers.
And should we always take action to actively, you know, dissolve that trigger or remove that trigger from our lives? Or is there any situation where we should wait instead? And, you know, because we think it's going to go away on its own eventually, but yeah, it's five minutes or it won't.
No. Bottom line is it's feedback for us to actually own a part of ourselves that we're not really recognized within ourselves. Mm-hmm. So think of also triggers from the perspective of that we can see somebody and we will admire them in some way, for example. And therefore, by us admiring them, ultimately what we're doing is we're putting ourselves down. So from a self-worth perspective, we're actually lowering our self-worth because we're looking up to them. Okay, so that's in effect a trigger, because that trigger now is actually depleting yourself. It's reducing your self-worth. But everyone is equal. When you fundamentally get to know who you are, you'll actually realize everyone is equal. But then it's a case of, well, that's fine, but how do we remove the triggers? And that's the whole point whereby, yeah, you've got to identify the trigger first, And then it's a case of how do we actually dissolve those triggers, which is a whole process that we bring clients through. Does that make sense?
Yes. So, you know, you explained it really well, how these negative emotions are, you know, they don't define us, but they're just indicators as to how a genius pendulum is out of equilibrium and what we can do to, you know, improve our situations and our circumstances. So that was great.
Absolutely. Perfect. Great. Thanks, Nicole, for that question. It's really, really cool because then we can drill down into the information for our listeners, which is absolutely perfect. If you want to hear more and you want to understand more about what's going on from an emotional trigger point of view and want to know how you can keep your pendulum in the equilibrium, come on over and join us in our community. It's a free community. It's online and it is not on any Facebook or any other social media channel. So it's a dedicated space just purely for people that want to know more how they can actually achieve personal mastery and build a business and live a life that's on purpose. So you'll find all the links in our show notes, or you can go to our website, paulwilliamdavis.com, and all the links will be there as well. And there's a whole load of other resources as well available on the website that if you want to access or download. I look forward to seeing you in our community. But for now, I wish you every success.